came out with all these baby octopuses on it. Oh. Like, legit, like the full head with the tentacles all over the pizza.
Hey there, welcome to Real World Health and Fitness, the podcast where we talk about your health, your fitness, and the things you can start doing today to start seeing results tomorrow. Here are your hosts, Julian Gaylong and Daniel Antonellos.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Real World Health and Fitness, episode number 4. I am your host, Danny Antonellos, and I'm here with Julian Gaylor, the legend. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
That's doing awesome. Real good. Number 4, so excited. How are you feeling?
Good. It's good. Once again, a new location today, but hopefully this will be our home ground now. So no pools in the background for today. No lovely views, but we've got our home base set up for Real World, so it's going to be awesome.
Here we go. So number 4 is your dining out survival guide.
It's a big one.
Massive.
I mean, we live in this day and age. Our social life is always around socializing and going out and eating and drinking. And I think sometimes that's where people just fall down because, yes, like it's easy to control what you're eating at home and what you take to work. But then, you know, you're working so hard on a good diet and weight loss, whether that's just for your health or just to get on stage. And then all of a sudden life gets in the way and you get invited to a birthday party or a social dinner and drinks and you just freak out because you don't know what to do.
Yeah, and that's the last thing we want. We want people to be able to still enjoy life while being healthy at the same time.
Well, that's what we talk about, is that being healthy isn't just about your physical health, it's mental health as well. And so you need to still have a social life, because, you know, the scary thing is there'll be people who get so dedicated to their healthy eating or clean eating or dieting, if that's what you want to call it, that they'll become social hermits.
Yep.
And they don't go out. And that's a big part of being healthy as well.
Exactly right. You got to have that balance. And you can. I think it's just a big stereotype where a lot of people are like, yep, I'm clean Monday to Friday, but then on the weekend I go crazy. Boom. Like, yeah, no. You really don't have to.
Absolutely not. So tell me, Danny, look, what are some of the biggest struggles that we have with dining out? What are the problems that people have?
Yeah, so I think limited food options, it really depends on where you go. Some places, it really depends on where you go. But limited food options.
Because you're basically just at the peril of what's on the menu.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like at home, you've got control because you've bought all the foods, you know what you want.
Yeah.
You can go to your pantry or your fridge and work out a meal, but you've basically got to go off what's on the menu, especially if it's a social event that you haven't organized and you've got to go to some fancy Italian place or somewhere where it's, you know, it's just going to be pure indulgence.
Yeah.
That's really tricky. Absolutely.
And portion sizes as well. Yeah. Again, unless you're going to one of those really fancy ones where the more you spend, the smaller the portions are.
And the bigger the plates are.
Yeah. Yes, that's the trick, hey? Portion sizes are normally just huge.
Well, we normally, you know, we want value for money.
Yes.
We want to go out for a big feed.
Yeah.
We almost expect to come home feeling stuffed.
Yeah, that's right.
But you'd never eat that much at home normally.
No.
No way. What else?
So courses, multiple courses. Yeah, we'll have the entree, a couple of entrees here and there, and, you know, the main comes, and then you've got to have dessert as well, drinks as well. So it's a whole event.
Yeah, and you wouldn't eat that at home. I mean, how often do you have an entree at home? It's getting a bit fancy, if you ask me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, straight to the mains, I'd say.
And you know the one that I think that people forget about when it comes to story is the drinks that they have.
Yeah.
Because once again, if you're socializing, you're being merry. Chances are you might even be celebrating something, so drinks come along with that. And I think a lot of people forget about the calories that come in drinks, and they're so easy to consume.
You
put down a glass, even if it's just juice or soft drink, that's still full of sugar, let alone the alcohol. And boom, you could be a couple of hundred calories down already.
Yep. And with alcohol always comes a midnight kebab afterwards or, you know, something on the way home.
Exactly, exactly. So I guess for a lot of people, it's all about planning ahead when you go out, especially if you don't have well-versed in the skills about what to look for and so on, you need to plan ahead. So what things should people consider when they're planning ahead, when they're dining out?
Yeah, so first thing, why are you going out? So are you just catching up? Is it a celebration of some sort, or are you just sort of wanting to get out of the house? So sort of just gauge why you're going out, and then you can try and predict what sort of food and event it is and what will be there as well.
And I think that's important to try and, I don't want to say justify, but work out what's going to happen for that night. Look, if you are going out on a big celebration, something's happened in your life that's been fantastic, enjoy those moments.
Yeah.
Go for it. Live it up. Love it. Let's say you've graduated or you've won an award or something. Make that moment special.
Yeah.
But if you're just catching up with friends or you just want to get out of the house, you don't need to turn it into an all-you-can-eat buffet because that's not what's needed.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Exactly right. What else, Jules?
Oh, look, I think that if you know where you're going, if you can look at the menu ahead of time, not only is this going to help you to make friends with your dining partners because you're not spending half an hour looking at the menu when you get there, but you can make a much more informed decision.
Yep.
Now, in this day and age, so many restaurants have their menus online, or you can go to those apps like Zomato or whatever it is, where people take photos of the menus and you can actually look at them and sort of plan ahead.
Yeah.
And if you are looking to be really smart with your eating, just take that 5 or 10 minutes to work out what you need, because if you try and do it on the spot, if everyone else has ordered and you're trying to look through, you're going to get flustered and you're going to probably pick the wrong thing and you're going to regret it because you just weren't educated enough to know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's always a classic. And it's like, I'll go last. And then 2 seconds later, it's your turn. You're already, just trying to pick. But it's so common now for people to actually, I'm guilty of this, order based off their Instagram. It's like, you don't even look at the menu. I'm like, I want this one. Like, it looks pretty and it looks so good.
Well, that's how some of the Asian restaurants are. There's no menus. There's just photos and the price next to it. And you see a whole lot of those ones in Melbourne. You go through the streets, there's photos, but they're like from 1991 and they're faded. And I'm like, I don't know. Is that the same? I don't know if it's the same.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I really love and really helps me when I'm trying to choose where to eat out, especially let's say I'm prepping for a show or really watching what I'm eating, is restaurants and cafes that actually put their macros on their menus, and that just allows you to have a social life.
Yep.
Now, a couple episodes ago, we spoke about if it fits your macros or flexible dieting. And so restaurants that actually have the macros of their foods printed on the menus, it allows you to almost order in confidence.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you eat out, you've got no idea how the food's prepared, and we're going to talk about that later. And you think you might be ordering something, you know, quote unquote healthy, but when you see how it's actually prepared to make it taste so good, it's very different.
Exactly. I feel like most restaurants should be doing that because so many people are becoming more aware of the macros of their food. It's like a game changer if they do put it on there.
Well, I mean, if I was going to open a cafe or a restaurant or something like that, I'd be doing that because as people become so much more aware of their health and they're tracking their foods, if they've got to choose between two places, one that shows the nutrition value and a restaurant or cafe that doesn't, they're going to go to that one.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not that's healthy food or not, the fact that they can actually be aware of what they're putting in and accommodate what they're having makes a huge difference.
I've always thought of that, like opening a restaurant that where you can make an order based on how much meat you want or how much veggies or something, and then they give it to you. Like, that'll be perfect.
You order by the gram of meat
Literally. Can I have 100 grams of chicken? Then they cook it up for you.
That's an idea. I like that. I like
that. Our next project.
Could be. Now, this is a bit of a controversial one. As much as it's important to choose what you're or where you're eating, sometimes, if it sounds a bit cheeky, but deciding who you're actually going out and eating with, because that may determine how good you are when you're eating out too. Because there was actually a study done where you had they used a baseline average, let's call it a baseline average person who went and ate dinner or ate a meal with someone who was overweight. And they actually ate more when they were in the company of this person who was overweight compared to when they went out with someone who was conscious of what they're eating and they were healthy and fit.
Oh,
they ate less with them.
Yeah.
So I'm not, this sounds bad, but I'm not saying don't go and socialize with your unhealthy fat friends. That sounds really bad. That's not what I'm saying. We might edit that part out. But I mean, I think it might be just that it's like you feel more comfortable as though that, I can do that. Or I don't know if you're trying to sympathize and not make that person feel bad because you're making healthy choices. So I mean, if you are just wanting to go out and eat to be social or just to get out of the house, maybe dine out with your healthy, fit friends.
Yeah.
And save other activities for your other non as health conscious friends.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of fire for that one. Danny had no part in
that. That's why I didn't say anything, because I'm like, I can relate so much. Yeah, like all of my friends who aren't into the gym, which is fine. Like, I'm still friends.
Live and let live, you know?
No, I'm kidding.
There's no judgment.
I can tell when they're ordering something, then they kind of look at me out of the corner of their eye, and then it comes out and they're sort of eating it, looking at me. I'm like, guys, just do what you want to do. That's fine. But it does take a lot of self control on my my end to sort of not pick at what they want, and them being polite, being like, do you want this, do you want that, you know. But, yeah, again, it really does make a difference who you're out with.
And I'd say that probably people don't realise that. They don't think about that. I guess people probably realise that when they go out with that raging party. It's like, oh, if we go out with this person, I know we're in for a big, messy night. Or if I go out with my friend here, we'll be home before 10 o'clock. Yeah, so pick your battles, right. You know, pros and cons to both.
Exactly. And compensating during the day. So if you know you're going to go out for a massive feed, I'm not talking about starving yourself during the day, because then you will just be so hungry that you'll eat everything in sight.
That does wonders for your metabolism as well.
I know, and then you end up feeling so sick and don't finish it anyway. But, you know, order, maybe eat a little bit cleaner during the day, still hit your protein intake and things. But if you know you're going maybe to an Italian restaurant full of pizza and pasta and things like that, maybe try and save the carbs for dinner and then change your meals during the day.
Yeah, exactly. And just shave off some of the portion sizes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. As Danny said, you don't want to starve yourself, because that's not a healthy thing, and we don't want people to get into the habit of starving themselves just so they can gorge on food later. That's not how it is. But just sort of to give yourself a lot more wiggle room at the end of the day.
Yeah.
That makes a huge difference.
A lot of people do that, actually. Like, they know that they're going out for dinner, like, yeah, I haven't eaten since 11 a.m. And it's like, it does the complete opposite effect.
But I find that I can't, like, as though you get full so quick when you do that. And it's like, oh, I've wasted this. I can't even get the good food in. And some people actually, I reckon I've done that to myself, and I've actually ended the day under my calorie total just because I've just been like, I can't fit all this in.
Yeah, your stomach freaks out and goes, I'm finally got food, but I'm going to make you feel sick now.
Well, I've had that when I would be prepping for a show, and the prep methodology had a cheat meal in it. You know, I'd save myself up all day for the cheat meal, and I couldn't get through half of it because my body had just sort of shut down. You go, oh, there's no food coming in. Then all of a sudden you dump all of these calories, which are usually pretty rich and greasy and, you know, not good. And then they just go, nope, that's, we're shutting up shop. No more for you.
Exactly. That's why we don't condone cheat meals.
No, not at all. That's it. I find that if you can plan ahead, there's a lot of ways that you can actually save probably hundreds of calories on that night. Like, as much as you're going out for probably a high calorie meal, there's some things that you can do to taper that back so it's not a blowout.
Yeah.
The first one, as I spoke about earlier, was the drinks. Firstly, sure, if you're going out and having a few social drinks, that's fine, but choosing the drinks that you have makes a big difference. So any cocktails are usually going to be pretty high in calories, like the mixers, whether that's going to be with juice or soft drink or God knows what else. I mean, if you're
margaritas,
the espresso martinis, they are a dangerous one. That's all the fashion now.
They're a hit, aren't
they? I guess they're somewhat of a bit of a fashionable, classy drink as well, but they can be over 300 calories each. Like,
that's huge.
I'm sure there's some out there which are even more than that. But that's the thing. If you go out for pre-dinner drinks and you're having a cocktail or the espresso martinis or even a couple of wines or full-strength beers or just even pre-mixed like vodka and raspberries, before you even get to the dinner table, you could be, you know, close to 1,000 calories down already. And I mean, that's a big portion of a meal right there.
Yeah, and that'll also affect your thinking when you're ordering the food. You'll be like, stuff it. I'll just have everything.
Speaking from experience?
Oh, maybe, you know. We've had some fun in our time, but no. So, yeah, ordering spirits, even if you have a diet soft drink with it. I'm not the biggest fan of vodka, lime and soda, even though it fits the stereotype that it probably should be. But, you know, if you can down them, they're great. But a lot of extra lemon and lime goes in there.
I sort of
just would drink it and that's it.
Like. Well, yeah, it's going for your light beers, maybe a white wine. And just if you've got to have one, sure, do that. But just limit it to one. You know what? Just sit on that one for a while and work on the conversation, or I know it's a common thing that people say, have a water or a non-alcoholic drink or a diet Coke or whatever it is in between. But, you know, you focus on the meal, because the thing is, you could easily have half your day's worth of calories just right there. And usually those calories you're drinking, the body has very little use for, whether that's alcohol and then sugary carbohydrates.
Yeah.
It's not going to be too much fun there.
And I think the sugar makes the hangover worse as well.
Could.
Something like that.
I think a lot of people have their own drinks that they go, I stay away from that one, but I'm pretty good on this one. Trial and error.
Trial and error.
That's it.
Now, the bread basket. We all love it.
What about my stomach?
Yeah. Six-pack of rolls.
That's it.
Yeah, so this is massive as well. Often if we do rock up to the restaurant hungry because we've starved ourselves for the day and then the bread comes out, we're like, sweet, it's started. And mm-hmm. just while you're chatting, you can be just filling yourself up on bread, which, you
those
know,
those warm sort of bread rolls with the butter.
They do smell good.
They do.
And it's fun opening those little square packets and just
I don't call it fun. It's you know. Fun. Well, if they're melted, it's not fun.
Maybe when I was a kid. I haven't done that for a while.
Sure. But, I mean, does that – would you say that's still leads because those that you're talking about the complimentary ones that they yeah. just put on the table. Yeah, and it's bad that then if your dinner is taking longer, they'll bring more out for you.
Oh, yeah.
More out. And it's like, once again, if you went from having your pre-dinner drinks to let's say you had two or three bread rolls there, that could pretty much be with the butter, that could pretty much be your daily calorie intake. And pretty all you've had there is alcohol, carbs, and fat.
Yeah.
How much protein have you actually touched there?
Yeah.
None.
And that's why you don't get full.
Like, no.
So it just goes, yeah, straight into your system, but it's not going to fill you up. We need that protein.
Yep. So look, if you're going out for dinner, having a nice night of it, go easy on the pre-dinner drinks. Choose wisely with what you're having. And if that bread basket hits a table, just politely give it to the waiter because I can tell you right now, if it's sitting on your table for long enough, they're going to disappear.
Mm.
And you're probably going to have breadcrumbs in your lap and I'll put two and two together and we'll work out what's happened. So just give it some say thanks, we don't need that because if it's not there, you can't have it.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Exactly. And then, yeah, save all that room for the actual food that you're there.
Good stuff.
Have.
Yeah, that's
all
it.
All right. So you can control the amount of food you're eating. Just have a real think. How many courses do you usually have at home?
Mm.
So would you sit down for dinner, have an entree, have a main or another main as well and dessert? Would you normally do that?
Has anyone brought bread rolls out for you at home? You've sat down at the dinner table, they put the warm bread rolls
out.
That
would be nice.
It would be.
But no.
But you'd give it straight back, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't have a waiter at home yet.
Mm. I think if you gave it back, your mum would probably yell at you. No, eat it.
Yeah, she'll hit me with the breadstick. Eat this. I cooked it for you.
Exactly.
That'd be my grandma. But yeah.
Controlling the amount of food, I mean, there are things you can control. We spoke about how portion sizes are massive.
Yep.
But we can still combat in some ways. And I think that you're right that similar to how big of an event that we're having or if you're celebrating something or it's a big night out, sure, you may have a few courses. If it's a fancy dinner somewhere, try that. But once again, if it's just a catch-up or a social thing, do you need the multiple courses?
That's right.
That's it. But this I find is really thrifty and can sometimes be pretty romantic as well. When you look at sharing meals, like you make them up. Don't do it on a first date. If you went on a first date, I wouldn't suggest guys out there suggesting that you go halves in a meal. Maybe dessert. That's kind of romantic, sharing like a piece of, is that from a girl's perspective?
Yeah, it seems like you know what you're doing. But,
I've got no idea.
No, you're right. Don't touch my food, basically.
No, that's mine. I think that. But if you know, if you've got people on the table and you want to try a few things in their big portion sizes, let's say that you went out to dinner with four people, a double date or just four people, and you knew that, geez, these are pretty big portion sizes. We probably don't need that much. You could order three mains.
Yep.
And you'll just try a little bit of each. And that way the average size of the meal is smaller because you haven't got one whole one yourself. You've got to try a few little things and everyone wins. I mean, how many times have you been stuck looking at them and you go, I want that all, but I'd like to try that too.
Yep.
And that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's probably cheaper as well. But, yeah, if you can come across as it's a nice thing to share the dessert and that's usually where a lot of the calories are pretty heavy.
Definitely share. And it's good to have a taste of a few different things so you're not that person. When the person next to you gets a meal, you're like, I should have ordered that.
Oh, can I try that? Give me a bit of that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't make friends
that way. I don't
even
know you.
Exactly. Exactly. But I think sharing is caring in that regards. And that's how you can control those portion sizes. Because if you just know that those meals are going to be big, we'll just reduce the amount of food that's on the table. Because I say that all the time, whether it's we're talking about the bread rolls, whether we're talking about having naughty foods in the house. It's like if it's not there, you can't have it. And so just be smart like that. Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, sometimes the hardest part for people is understanding the menu and looking at it. And usually people just go, oh, that sounds nice and I'm going to have that. And they pretty much just choose on what their eyes and their belly tells them that they want. But what are some strategies that people can use when they're looking at a menu?
Yeah, so just being aware of sneaky cooking tricks. So
we always talk about sneaky stuff. There was the sneaky supermarket people. There's the sneaky chefs.
So many sneaks around.
I hate it.
But yeah, we're outing all of them. So
yeah, that's it. They'll be at our door with pitchforks, I think. We'll be banned from supermarkets and restaurants. We're done.
Damn it. The food at restaurants always tastes incredible. And
it's funny that. Yeah. It's just, I just can't make it the same at home. I don't know what they do.
And actually, you're a pretty good chef.
I do know what they do.
Tell us, what do they do?
Well, it usually involves a lot of butter or oil or anything. Like if you get rice, when you go out and you go, geez, this just almost tastes sweeter or it's yummier or whatever it is, chances are there's just been a little bit of butter melted through it. Same with the vegetables.
Yeah. Oh, try getting roast veggies at a restaurant. They're just soaked just clean. In oil.
I know. That's the thing. Once again, they taste great.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And then also sometimes when you get those steaks that come out that are just a bit too juicy to be real. So it might never look like that at home.
Yeah.
And it's just the fact that they're that juicy is because they've probably had a bit of more butter melted over it. Like yeah. I was reading something where there was a restaurant where they prided themselves on the fact that they made them so juicy and succulent because they melted butter over it. Ugh. And the butter alone could be a couple hundred calories
That's
of
right.
just fat.
Yeah.
I'm not saying butter is bad, but you don't need that.
You don't need that much of it.
No, and I'd hope the chef's good enough that they can cook a good steak without having to...
It'll ruin the taste, wouldn't it, a little
Well, I think it enhances it is the thing because it's like more fatty and juicy, even though I'm used to nice, lean red meats, but, you know, that taste. So for some people, like, who are clean eaters, they may have that and just go, woof, that's just too much, but others would just love it.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
So you can definitely ask for sauces on the side and things and maybe a little less butter. You know, you're at the restaurant, speak up.
Mm.
You don't have to sort of make a million changes to your meals, but just the main ones like that, if you know that it's going to come out soaked in butter or sauce or whatever, ask for it on the side. And generally they say yes.
Yeah, look, I think that's something that a lot of people get apprehensive about because they think that they're being picky or annoying. But at the end of the day, you're going out and paying money for a service or goods, which is the foods.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't feel bad about asking for it your way. I mean, it's one thing if you're trying to recreate the whole meal from scratch, but it's like you can ask, hey, just is there any added oil or butter to the vegetables, or do you put anything on the steak? And you can just ask, hey, can you just cook it clean?
Yeah, grill it instead of frying it.
Exactly. I did that when I was in a comp prep and I went out for a friend's birthday. We went to an amazing grill place and I said, look, I just need you to, no marinades, no nothing, just cook it clean.
Yeah.
And they give you a weird look because you're out to this gourmet place. I'm like, just nice and clean and I'm happy with that. Of course, they brought it out and it tasted too good to be true, unfortunately. I was having a bite. I'm like, do I just believe that they actually did the right thing and it just tastes awesome? But I'm like, no, I had to send it back.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I had to. Well, I mean, I'm trying to hit my macro. Well, it wasn't macros at that point, but it had portions I'm trying to hit. And when this thing had extra calories of sugar and fat in it, I had to.
Did they bring out another one?
They did, yeah, because he knew that.
Did he spit in it?
No, it's too many macros in spit, so no. No, it was, he knew that there was a mistake made because he made it clear. Like I explained to him, I wasn't a jerk about it. I said, hey, look, I'm just needing to be really clean on this. And he said, yep, no problems. And then when he looked at it, when I showed him, he was like, oh, yeah, sorry, that's our bad.
Okay, yeah, if you're polite about it, you know, they can't say anything.
No, I mean, maybe I might not do that if I'm going to like some sort of fancy Heston Blumenthal restaurant or something like that. I probably wouldn't be going there if I'm going to start to tell the master chefs how to cook my food.
Because you go there all the time, don't you?
Always.
High roller.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's it. But
yeah,
don't be afraid to ask for it your way because they're there to serve you and you need to feel good about what you're eating.
That's right. It's all about the experience.
100%.
So, yeah, grilled rather than fried, sauces on the side, a little less butter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that much of an ask. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this is a big one that we looked at is though that when we've – it's not as predominant as it used to be, but there was the low-carb phrase where everything was low-carb and if something was low-carb, it was good for you.
Yeah.
But the problem is if you're eating something which is low-carbs and it still tastes amazing – probably high in fat.
Yep.
Now, on the other side of that, if you're eating something which says it's low fat, but it tastes good, probably full of carbs.
Yeah, and sugars, like sugary carbs.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. But see, if you're eating something which is low carb and low fat and tastes amazing, it's probably some sort of chemical creation that you probably shouldn't be putting in your body.
Yeah.
So just be aware that if something says that it's low carb, have a look at it and see, well, what else is in there? It could be a lot of butter or oil.
Yeah.
So just be mindful of that. Don't get carried away with that.
More sneakiness, sneaky marketing. They get us.
We're the sneaky busters. That's what we're going to change the podcast to, sneaky busters.
Sneaky busters.
We'll go off health and fitness and we'll just go out outing everyone.
Yeah, that'll be kind of fun.
Scandals everywhere. Now, this is one where I think when we go to some international cuisines, there can be a lot of language on the menu that we don't necessarily understand. And that yes. can actually lead us towards how it can be cooked and things that we need to stay away from.
Yes. What are some of these words?
Well, words that most of us are going to be pretty familiar with are things like, you know, creamy, breaded, crisp, sauced or stuffed. It's probably going to be full of, you know, fats and carbs, extra than what we need.
Yeah.
Look, and I just got to pause there and say, look, you're going to have meals that are going to have fats and carbs in it. Fats and carbs are good, but I'm talking over the top where it's really rich and it's just, it takes that calorie amount, nutritional value to the next level where it's like you don't need that.
Yeah, that's right.
Whereas it's just other things like words that are buttery, sautéed, pan-fried, au gratin. They're usually browned or crusty using breadcrumbs, grated cheese, eggs and butter. And so, sure, it tastes amazing, but once again, added calories. Some other things to talk about. Now, please don't crucify me if my pronunciation
is I'm waiting for you to pronounce this word here. Go for it.
A thermidor, Newberg, parmesan, cheese sauces, scallops.
Here we go.
Olé à la mode and au fromage. Yes, that's right. Au fromage. Nailed that one.
Beautiful.
Well, you know, that's got your milk, your cream, your cheese. So if you see those, just know that you're really going to be having some sort of high fat meals right there. So,
is thermidor to do with cheese as well?
Yeah, pretty much. I think I should have researched that, but I was just more so looking at those keywords there. But things that you should look for are things like grilled, seared, or steamed.
Yeah.
That's pretty clean.
The main ones,
they're not using any oils or, you know, baking it in anything which is going to be high in carbs and fats. That's going to be pretty clean.
Yeah. I have been guilty of Googling the words. So don't be shy to Google them if you actually don't understand what they are.
Well, that's the thing. And you're right. And you can ask. Ask the waiter as well. You know, at the end of the day, what's the saying? It's like, better to ask and feel like an idiot for a second than to, you know, eat that meal and not be happy and like hate yourself for it at the end. You know, I think that's the best way to go about it.
Once I ordered a pizza like ages ago and
Just once.
Back in the day. No, this is the time.
That's my genetics. I don't like coriander. It's just my genetics. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So when the meal comes out, Danny, is there a game plan people should follow? Is it just pig in, just annihilate the meal, or what should happen?
Yeah, so try and eat your salad and veggies first. Mm-hmm. I know it's not as exciting, but, you know.
Because we assume you've ordered salad and vegetables this meal.
Well, if you've ordered it, yes, then eat it.
Of course you have, yeah.
Yeah, so eat that sort of stuff first and the meat as well. And then if you order chips and things on the side, try and save them for last.
Mm.
And then you won't fill up on those. So
yeah, I was going to ask, what's the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, so fill up on the good stuff and then, you know, it's all good, but fill up on the things that you know you'll get the most nutritional value out of. So the protein, like your meat sauce if you have it, and then the salad and veggies.
Greens. That's the thing is though, most people, if there's chips on their plate or something like that, they'll hammer the chips in, then all of a sudden that expands in the stomach and you're full, and then you look at the greenery on your plate, it's like, can't do it, sorry.
Exactly. Yeah.
And to me, I'm kind of like, if you have your salads first, even if you're not a huge salad person, kind of makes everything else taste better. Because like you've had that, and you know, I've earned this, I've deserved this. Now I'm going to annihilate it all. You know.
Yeah, it's how you look at your food as well, because your food is your nourishment. You know, so we like things that taste like with more flavor and salts and sugars and things. But at the end of the day, we eat to nourish our bodies, so you got to remember that as well. So those greens are there to help you. Okay, don't forget about the greens.
That sort of balance between, is it you're eating for the culinary delight of it, or is it that you're eating to live?
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes, you know, that's when you dine out, you probably go towards the culinary delight side of things, but still it's like
be mindful.
Eat the good stuff. Yeah.
Eat the good stuff.
Now, you were talking before about having your sauces on the side. Do you mean like on salad dressings or
salad dressings, mayonnaise, even in burgers and things that are just covered with mayonnaise because they're so high in fat and you don't even know it. Like, yeah.
So what's your strategy there? So what's the reasoning between putting them on the side? So that, I mean, obviously people might just say don't have the sauces at all.
Yeah.
So why have it on the side then instead?
Yeah, just so your food doesn't come out drowned in the sauce and you're forced to eat it. So you can actually choose how much you have and you might not even eat it at all.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I think... A great strategy I heard of is that if you're having a salad, instead of having the high in fat, oily dressing just drowning your salad, get it on the side. And what people do is they dip their fork in the dressing, then they get their salad. So they've got the trace amounts of the actual salad dressing or the mayonnaise or whatever the sauce is. The flavor's there, but the amount that you've had compared to if it was drowned in it,
That's a really good idea.
Totally different. So that if you actually got the same amount of salad dressing that you'd have poured all over your dressing, I mean over your salad put on the side, and you just dipped your fork in, you'd probably still enjoy that flavor, but by the end of your salad, you'd have so much dressing left over, and that's like that's ultimate liquid calories right there. Not that you're going to drink the salad dressing, but I mean, it just that adds up so quickly because a lot of salad dressings, especially the really rich ones and the ones you're probably going to get from the restaurants, it's very pretty much all oil.
Yeah.
And so, and oil is fat. Yeah. You know? And that's so too much of it, it's going to put your calories through the roof.
Yeah. I really like that idea.
Yeah.
Good one, Jules. Good one.
Now, if people go into the buffet, Danny, firstly, that's a disaster waiting to happen itself.
Yeah.
But what's something that people can do when they are at the buffets to sort of just meter themselves a little bit?
Yeah, so there is that tendency to just load up on everything and, you know, fill your plate. So use smaller plates because then you won't over consume because how often people hardly ever finish everything at a buffet.
No.
You know, it's just about tasting bits of everything. And then if you have a smaller plate, it'll fill up quicker. And then you make the second trip if you need to. That's fine.
Yeah.
Second, third, whatever we do. But yeah, smaller plates for sure.
Yeah, I mean, no one's going to, let's be honest, no one's going to a buffet for a light snack. You don't go to all-you-eat buffet, but I think it's also important to probably do a lap of the whole buffet and have a look at what's there.
Yeah.
And then pick what you really want because if you just walk up to the buffet and go, oh, I want that, and you load your plate up and then you walk 2 meters that way and go, oh, and that too, and that too, you're almost juggling Mount's calorie of doom on your plate and you get it back and you're not going to finish that. So, and you're right that there's always, we've spoken about it before, the psychology behind a smaller plate that if you finish that plate, it still feels like you're full because you've finished the whole plate.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. That's
Did you know there's actually strategies that, because there's always reviews about all the buffets, let's say in Vegas, at all the casinos, great buffets. And there's people have written strategies about how to get the most out of the buffets or how to consume the most amount of calories.
Oh.
And that's all it. Don't have the bread. You can't have any bread. You've got to have all the, and it's like, it's amazing.
So they work for?
No, these are just people off the street. People off the street who are going, okay, if you go into the buffet, this is the strategy you should use to consume the most amount of food.
Oh, okay. To get your money's worth or something.
I guess so. But I think, you know, a lot of people look at the buffets as it's, as much as I can eat. I want to consume as much. I want my pants button shooting off and embedding in the wall over there because my pants are split because I ate that much.
Like on The Simpsons where Homer comes in then they shut down the whole restaurant.
Yeah, they ask him to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He grabs the tray of the food instead of on the plate. Oh. So what were they talking about? So skipping the bread?
It just fills you up. It's empty. And naturally they're saying don't touch the salads.
Oh, so it's,
Like, I think there's different ones. Some of them like just to maximum food intake and others like maximum value. So like, stick with the seafood.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't know if I want to touch. I don't like seafood to start with. And if I'm
really
getting it, it's not my favorite. Look, every now and again, I'll have a nice piece of grilled fish.
Okay.
But I'm not going to.
Prawns?
No.
No.
Don't invite me to your seafood Christmas, Danny.
Oh, damn. I already sent the invites out.
Well, I'll be a cheap date then. I'll just have the salad on the side. I'll just have the dressing. How about that? Yeah, no, it's just bizarre how that people can look at food as different ways. Obviously, that's a complete culinary delight that they're going for there.
Yep.
But yeah, look, I think that portion sizes go out the window when it comes to buffets. So I would, if anything, I'd just say stay away from buffets.
Pretty much.
Unless you've got like a buffet buddy that you keep each other accountable.
But weddings are buffets these days. Like that's the latest thing as well.
Or it's just they're walking around with food. And you just keep picking things off the plate. And it's kind of like people always topping your drink up. You actually don't know how much you've had because there's no plate that's been finished. It's just going on. But I think weddings are dangerous too because it's like, I need to make the most of this. It's free.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, pretty much. But then you don't want to be that person always getting up as well. Like,
true. But if they're walking around, it's different.
Oh, yeah.
There's ones that, you know, they actually walk around with the food.
Yeah.
It's like a cocktail style wedding where it's brought around to you. And so you can just sit there and, you know, slip in between and say, just keep it coming. Keep it coming.
Mm.
You get your full toaster's worth that you gave them as a wedding present.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Cool. So look, Danny, that's
fantastic.
That's a whirlwind overview of, I guess, how to dine out and some little tips to take there. Of course, look, we want you to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
But just to be smart. So what are your biggest takeaways from this one, Danny, that you want people to try and do?
Yeah, so definitely planning ahead is a massive one, okay? Mm-hmm. So just try and suss out the menu beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Try and gauge whether your food's going to be drowned in sauce and things like that. And then if so, ask for it on the side. So go in with a game plan, definitely.
Yeah, I love... I love the thought of looking at the menus, especially if they've got macros. That's probably just more my natural behavior or temperament, is that I'm efficient. If I go and sit down, I'm sitting down, I know what I want, I'm going to order it right there.
Oh, yeah, that's great too.
But I think that just being wise about considering where you're going and why you're eating out and who you're going with, that can lead you to the right choices or the very wrong choices too.
Definitely.
So that's the key things. And just be smart, I think, with understanding your knowledge of the language that can be used on the menus. And the biggest one for me, the biggest one is don't be afraid to ask for it your way.
Yes.
Ask questions.
Definitely. Mm. Definitely. You know, we're all about, as we said at the start, still being able to enjoy all aspects of life, mm-hmm. but just being a little bit more mindful of everything. And, you know, a lot of people go into these things with like last chance syndrome. So, I'm not going to eat like this for ages. I'm just going to go all out. But that's not true.
You know what? Your friend's going to call you up next weekend and you're going again.
Yeah, that's right. So just be mindful, still enjoy yourself, have a little bit of everything, but really stop and think and, just be smart about it.
Absolutely. So we'll put all these show notes into the episode. Once again, leave us some comments, share this with your friends. If you've learned anything from this, I'm sure you've got some friends and family maybe who would love to hear it too. So share this episode with them, let them know about the podcast, because at the end of the day, our goal is just to reach as many people as we can and help them. It's a great hobby. We love doing it. We get excited when we sit down to do these podcasts. And so if we know that there's more and more people listening, it's just going to give us the warm and fuzzies even more and want us through more and more.
That's it. And give some feedback on Julian's French as well. That was really good. I reckon he nailed it. Perfect. Can I get one more time?
Fromage.
Fantastic. 10 out of 10, surely. Beautiful.
Thanks a lot, folks.
Thank you.
We will see you on the next episode.
Bye.